and welcome to Run the Table. I'm your host, Bryce Tinson. Obert, how are you doing today?
Very good. Ready to make some picks. This is one of the most exciting divisional rounds, that I've, watched or will watch in a long time. I like a lot of these teams here, and it's going to be fun to discuss.
Yeah, personally, I think the divisional round itself is the best weekend of football.
Yep.
Because normally in the wild card round, you have some games, although this year, all of them, for the most part, lived up to the hype or even, surprised us a little bit.
Yep.
But the divisional, you usually you got the four best teams in each side of the conference, and it's really fun. Two games Saturday, two games Sunday. So we're going to start the first game on Saturday, 4:30 kick. The Jacksonville Jaguars, after their unbelievable comeback, travel to Arrowhead Stadium to take on the number one seed, Kansas City Chiefs, and Patrick Mahomes. Over, tell me what you think is going to happen in this one.
The Chiefs are winning. Oh, it's so sad. I wanted to take the Jags. I thought about it. I just don't really think so. Wouldn't be surprised if the Jags win this game. I think it's a close game. I think the Chiefs win 34-28 is my final prediction. I think the Jags get things going offensively early. I think they go for it on fourth down a lot. They know they need to be aggressive. Sevens over threes. That's the only chance they have of winning this game. I see no reason this offense can't move the ball exactly like it did against the Chargers defense. And, Chargers defense having the holes and injuries it did, it was still, it's still a very talented defense. You have Joey Bosa, Derwin James were fully ready to go. And, give Trevor Lawrence credit. He goes for, four touchdowns in the second half and carries the team to victory. Obviously, if he didn't have the four picks in the first half, maybe wouldn't have needed to, but he did it. And I think I don't really see a reason they can't. Obviously, Trevor Lawrence throws four picks, they're dead. No doing that at, Arrowhead against the Kansas City Chiefs, but I think there is no reason they can't move the ball like they did against the Chargers, especially in that second half. And I think with, Doug Peterson, even in the Chargers game, there was a 4th-and-7, I think, from his own 32 or from the Chargers 32 that he goes for because he's like, hey, I'm an aggressive coach. I want sevens, famous for doing that in the Super Bowl against the Patriots. I just think that's going to be how the Jags are going to play this. And I think they probably even take a lead early and then that Chiefs wave come. And I think it just, they go for like probably something like 21 straight, push this thing out to maybe, 34-21. And then the Jags get a late touchdown with a couple of minutes to go. I'll say, 3 minutes to go. And then the Chiefs, it's like, oh, well, if they can just get one stop, then, Trevor Lawrence will have a chance to win it. And then Mahomes does his thing. Right.
Yep.
And, he makes his magic happen, gets a couple of first downs and that's that. But this offense is it's not one dimensional like the Chargers offense. It's not, we are going to drop back, throw the ball 10 yards, 15 yards every play, 7 yards. And, and when we do hand the ball off, it's Austin Eckler for 2 yards.
Yeah.
This offense has so many different aspects to it. A young team like this Jaguars team, I think the Chiefs are dysfunctional enough in the playoffs sometimes, and, to keep this game close. But I would be honestly surprised if the Jags win it. But I think they could. I think there could be a possibility where it's like, here come the Chiefs again, losing to kind of worse teams at home in the playoffs. No disrespect, but you look at, against Tom Brady, Patriots, what was that, 2019? The Super Bowl year was great, but last year wasn't, what they were looking for. Mm-hmm. And going back to those Alex Smith years, there were some, Colts game.
Titans game.
Lead. Yep, Titans game.
That was bad.
And on and on and on. So, they've had some playoff mishaps, and that could happen here. I would be slightly surprised, but yeah, as it stands, I'm going with the Chiefs Jacks to cover.
What even is the spread in that game?
9. Kansas City's favored by 9.
Yeah, I'd take the Jacks to cover too. This is a playoff game, folks.
That's right.
I really do want to take the Jags. I really do. The only problem I'm having is they don't win that game last week if Michael Davis doesn't get hurt in the second quarter. Maybe early third quarter. Because without Michael Davis, the Chargers had to completely change their entire scheme because of the corner that had to come in for him. He had previously gotten just destroyed on a deep ball the week before in Denver. And so then instead of running their regular quarters defense and cover three defense, they had to switch, go to a lot of cover six, like I mentioned, or cover eight on Wednesday's episode. And they did that so that they could have another safety over top of this, this, I guess, third or fourth string cornerback. And, you know, will the Jaguars be able to take advantage of a situation like that again? I don't know. It was an injury. Like, you can't predict those to happen. But they struggled early on, and I think they kind of will again this week. You saw what works against this Jacksonville offense, especially if they're not able to run the ball early, or they choose not to. I do think that this is, yes, it's a young team, but they're very mature for their age. And I think a lot of that has to do with having Doug Peterson as their head coach. Trevor Lawrence is a fantastic leader. You saw it. They were down. He just thrown his fourth pick, and they were down 27-0. And he's like, "We're good. We got this. We're good." On the sidelines,
at all disheartened.
Doesn't look phased at all. The difference with this Chiefs team compared to Chiefs teams of old, they can run the ball. Isaiah Pacheco is a freaking dude in the backfield, and it's not like he's going to, you know, make a man miss or rip off these massive gains. He's one of those guys that's just going to put his head down and he's going to make you tackle him for four quarters. And that's taxing on a defense. And so it might not happen early on for the Chiefs in terms of breaking one off. But I guarantee you by the fourth quarter, Isaiah Pacheco is going to have a 30-40 yard run. At the end of the day, I think that experience and age in a game like this is going to favor the Chiefs a lot more than it is the Jaguars, and I think they're going to be able to win this game. Having Patrick Mahomes and the bye week to rest up, get guys healthy, is really important for this team. Plus, you got, it's not even mentioning Jerick McKinnon. I mean, they didn't really use him at the beginning of the year. He was kind of a late season addition because he gets hurt quite frequently, and he is a playmaker when he's healthy. And so you have a guy like him in the passing game coming out of the backfield, and then you get the Isaiah Pacheco on first and second down, short yardage and third down situations. I will be interested to see who the leading receiver is for the Chiefs outside of Travis Kelce. You know, this year it's kind of been you've had your MVS games, you've had your Juju games. Kadarius Toney looked pretty good in their Week 18 performance. So is he their leading receiver? I think it's just tough matchups all around. And then defensively, I think, you know, it's a usual Steve Spagnuolo defense. They played bad at the beginning of the season, and then at the end of the season they're giving up, you know, 18-19 points a game, and it's tough to score on them. So I'm going to take the experience. I'm going to take the Chiefs, as much as that pains me to say, just because I'm going to be rooting for the Jaguars. I like you, I think there's a path to victory. I just think if you were going to play this game 100 times, the Jags win like 18 of them. Right. So, yeah, there's a chance.
What do you think the final score is?
That's a great question. I think, do we know what temperature is going to be like? I haven't looked.
No.
So, I'm going to go 34-30. I'm going to go 34-30 Chiefs. I think it's going to be, that's mine. What's yours?
Yeah, 34-28. I had the Chiefs winning close. I said 34-21, Jags score late, get it to six. Then it's like, they get that last stop?
Onside kick? Onside kick, maybe?
No, I don't think they... I think it's like three timeouts left.
You think there's going to be it's going to be on the other side of the two-minute warning?
Right, and it's going to be like BS, like, here's like a third and three. Are they going to stop him here? And it's like, they threw it. Who knew? Andy Reid likes to throw the football. And it's a first down. Oh, wow.
A gutsy call.
I do think this year that there's a chance that they could run it in that situation. Now, there are other years where it's like, why would they ever run the ball with Clyde Edwards-Helaire here?
He found Travis Kelce wide open against like a zone defense.
It was a little hook.
Right.
It was a five-yard hook.
Ball came out of Patrick Mahomes' hands and I know. In like 0.5 seconds, as soon as he touches the ball, he just throws it wide open to a Travis Kelce. It's like, who would have thought?
My God. It's crazy. Okay. We have the next game, the night game on Saturday, Giants-Eagles. This one, you know, a lot of people had this game just because, you know, they viewed the Vikings as fraudulent. And so
We missed on that.
Hands up. The games this year, I mean, yes, Week 18 happened and it was only a 6-point win for the Eagles. I'm going to throw that out. It was Week 18. I don't know how I feel about that. When they played the first time, it was a murder. It was a murder. There was blood on the field. I don't know about you, but I kind of have a feeling it's going to be something like that again.
I'm taking Eagles to win.
What's the spread on that one? I didn't look at
any spreads. 7.5 points. And it's really close for me, I'm taking Eagles by 7.
Yeah, it was 48-22 last time they played.
Yeah, I mean, absolute bloodbath. Second time they played, you know, the
22-16
game,
was the final.
22-16, and the Eagles were playing half their starters. Mm-hmm. Giants were playing total backups. I mean, complete backups
in
that game.
That was a weird game. Because the Eagles were up I think, like, it was like 22-3 or something. Right. Like, it was insane.
So they were dominating that game. Giants, for whatever reason, pick up some momentum. Keep it close. They had literally nothing at stake in that game. Win or loss, they were the sixth seed. So decided to rest their starters. But I think there's an element to this where it's, you know, you mentioned this in the takeaways episode, or no, the playoff predictions episode a couple of weeks ago. Eagles coming off of a bye. I think the Giants, and I feel the same way about the Jaguars going up against mm-hmm. the Chiefs. I think they'll have some momentum early. They just played the week before, and I think their offense will be able to move the football a little bit, take a lead, and oh my God, I can't believe this. The Giants actually might go to the NFC Championship game, and then it will be, you know, Eagles, Jalen Hurts. Totally makes sense. I think the offense isn't, you know, totally, you know, full power, because Jalen Hurts has really played, what, one game in the last 2 months?
He's fully cleared. He's fully cleared. He's not on the injury report anymore, so.
Fully healthy, just, you know.
A little rusty, maybe?
Right. A bit of rust, perhaps, and I think the Eagles come out a little shaky, but, you know, and also, first time, you know, home playoff game since the Nick Foles, and, you know, not too long ago, but totally different teams, mm-hmm. totally different. Yeah. So, that might be an interesting challenge, but in the end, it won't feel like the Eagles have too much of a problem. They win this game, I'll say 31-24, maybe, something like that.
You know, I don't think it's a young team. I mean, when you look at the roster from the 2018 Super Bowl to now, it's a very different team. But I think there's enough carryover with a guy like Jason Kelce where he's going to have them prepared. He's going to have them ready to go. He's played home playoff games before. He knows what it's like. He's played road playoff games. He knows he's one of those wily veterans that you want on one of these teams. Like, when you're a young team, you're looking for a guy that can be the mature, vocal leader in these kind of situations. And so I don't think they're going to come out flat. And that's, you know, that's kind of where I've changed my tune since we made the playoff predictions. I thought that having played, you know, the Cowboys, or having to have to play the Cowboys in my scenario would be a little bit tougher for them, just because it is, you know, the third time they're playing that team. And so the Cowboys would be able to. It's the same thing with the Giants. It's the third time, but they really didn't play each other the second time. And so this is really, truly the second time they're playing each other. And I think that the Eagles needed this rest more than the Chiefs did on the AFC side. So I think that, I don't know if it's going to be particularly close. I really don't. I think I'm going to go with like 33-20, maybe 33. Yeah, 33-20. Daniel Jones has only played good against the two worst defenses in the NFL. If Saquon can't get 150 yards, I don't think this game's close. I'm going to change it. 33-17 is my final score. I think this Eagles defensive front is one of the best, if not the best, in football. Maybe them and the 49ers just are the top two here in terms of the front seven. I don't think Saquon's going to be able to run the ball very well. I think, you know, that Giants offensive line's pretty young too, and so they got to deal with that. A lot of experience along the front with Fletcher Cox being there too. Hassan Reddick, he wasn't on the team last in the 2018. I don't even know if he was in the league at that point. He might have been in that 2018 draft class.
Mm-hmm.
But I do think that they kind of match up well along the front. And I said this at the beginning of the playoffs. I said this Giants team really makes its money along the front four on the defensive side of the ball and the big hog mollies on the offensive side. Is Daniel Jones going to be able to do it if he just has to straight drop back and pass when the defense knows he's passing? He had 228 yards in his best game that wasn't against the Lions or Vikings. So you tell me. I'm going to go 33-17. Eagles win.
I just feel like I need to give this Giants team some respect. You know what I mean? Yeah, I've been hating on them
for
a long time.
That's fair.
Come in, they, you know, hand up. That's right. Fair. I said Vikings were going to, you know, come in there and just beat the heck out of them, and They didn't, you know, and, yeah. and so it'll be interesting to see. But yeah, I don't really. It would be hard for them to win this game. It would be very hard.
I would be shocked
if they do. Yeah, Brian Dable,
seriously, Brian Dable. And I know coach of the year is supposed to be a regular season award, but like,
give it to him, man.
It's tough to have that happen and be like, yeah, be like, here, I know this happened, but I'm just not gonna like, I'm not gonna use it at all. Okay, so now we're gonna go to Sunday. Now we got 3, and then we got 6:30. So the Sunday games in the divisional round just always mess me up. Yeah. I'm just like, what are we doing here, guys? Yeah. You throwing me off my game. First game, 3 o'clock kick. Bills, Bengals in Orchard Park. This was the game that unfortunately was cut short due to the DeMar Hamlin injury. I don't even know if it's an injury. I'm going to call it scare. The DeMar Hamlin scare, I think, yeah. is the best way to do it. The Bengals were up 7-3, 10 minutes into that game. Bengals fans wanted that to be the final score of the game because they're insensitive and they didn't actually care about DeMar Hamlin. And so I feel like there's going to be a lot of emotions in this game. I think DeMar Hamlin might actually be there. It's going to be a high emotion game. I think it's going to get chippy. I think this is my favorite game of the weekend. And personally, I hope the Bengals fall flat on their face. I don't know about you.
I do. I definitely hope the
Bills. Well, yeah, you're a divisional rival, so
Bills win. But I think the Bengals win. I know, crazy, absolutely crazy to say, but a 5.5-point underdog. That O line looked atrocious against the Ravens. Yeah. Every bit as bad as it looked last year when Joe Burrow was sacked a billion times against the Titans, and you know was running for his life in the Rams game and AFC Championship game, only got bailed out because he was able to scramble a little bit. But I think they get it done. Watching that Bills Dolphins game, the Bills. I've said it. You know, over and over and over again week after week, it's just been like the Bills, you know, we talk about them as this juggernaut team, but every week it almost feels like they look worse. They're winning games and that's good, but so many of them have been ugly, close games against teams that, you know, they really should be, you know, getting through relatively quickly, but they haven't. Obviously with the Bengals, you know, it took a fair bit of luck to beat the Ravens. I mean, at the end of the day, I think, you know, Tyler Huntley, Snoop Huntley, whatever you want to call him, provides a bit more of a challenge to defenses and defensive coordinators than Tyler Thompson does, in my opinion.
Probably.
So I would kind of give more credit to the Bengals than I would the Bills in that game. And frankly, I think, you know, there was a bit of like offensively with the Bengals, hey, let's not empty out all the playbook. Let's kind of keep some tricks in our bag because at no point in that game until that huge long drive by the Ravens did it really feel scary, and then they get the fumble. So it was like offensively, like defensively, they were scrambling. You know what I mean? They needed to do whatever they could do to win that game. But it didn't really feel like we're panicking, we're in trouble until that big long Ravens drive. And so I don't know how much, you know, they were spoiled offensively or, you know, won't be ready to go. I think their offense comes in and, you know, plays really well in this game. And I think they win this game outright. I just can't in good faith pick the Bills against a capable team period right now. I mean, with how many poor performances they've had against subpar teams past, you know, couple of months, my postseason prediction was Bengals over Bills. I'm going to stick with that. And they didn't do anything to change my mind in that Dolphins game. So I'm going with the Bengals to win this game and get to the AFC Championship.
Give me a score.
I didn't actually have a score. But off the top of my head, I think it is a close game. I would say something like 31-27. I think it's high scoring. You know, the Bengals defense is good, but it's hard just because of how many possessions and how up-tempo and how little running game the Bills actually have to keep them to a 20 or a 17 or something like that. They're throwing the ball so much, they're going to get so many cracks at it. That's why when they didn't even play very well against the Dolphins, they scored 34 points offensively. Another aspect of that is Josh Allen turning the ball over 2 times. It's like the game speeds up, or well, slows down actually in real time. So
you get more plays.
Exactly.
This is a tough one because, to me, the entire week Ken Dorsey has spent in Josh Allen's ear, don't Don't play. Don't be the hero. Don't play hero ball. Don't play hero ball. Take what they give you. Take what they give you. If he hasn't, then I think this could be a disaster because we saw the Bengals. They're opportunistic. They're when you make a mistake, they're there to capitalize on it, no matter how lucky the mistake may seem.
Rip Snoop.
Yeah, T. It's T.
Huntley.
It's T. Huntley. He doesn't. He doesn't get a first name.
Tyler.
Not even Tyler, no.
That's not even a great first name, with all due respect to all the Tylers out there.
That's fair. Because there were so many times in that Dolphins game where Josh Allen had a guy open at 5 or 6 yards, and he's like, nah, we're going for 45, 50 yards down the field.
Yep.
And he would unleash it every single time. And it's like, guys, you signed Cole Beasley for a reason. Because he is one of the better slot receivers in the NFL. Yes, he was retired, but he can come in and still be a reliable target. Use him to your advantage. By throwing short of the sticks, you can then take the top off the defense because they'll be playing closer to the line of scrimmage. If you keep going deep every single play, they're going to play you deep. That's just how it works. And so I'm going to go with the Bills here. I think that the emotional aspect of playing this team again at home in front of their fans, you know, given everything that happened the last time they played, possibly having DeMar back in the stadium.
Is he suiting up to play?
No. Hell no.
That would be a miraculous recovery.
And it's weird because they didn't play well against the Patriots. Outside of, you know, their special teams units.
Yep.
They didn't play particularly well last week.
Nope.
You know, it feels kind of contradictory to pick this team at this moment. I'm going to be rooting for them because I think I have a newfound hate for Bengals fans. I don't know if you saw the Chris Collinsworth thing today.
No, what did he say?
Oh, my God. There was this note. It was a woman who typed out a notes app to Chris Collinsworth saying that he didn't show enough emotion on the fumble return.
Give him the boot. Break.
She also called him the play-by-play guy.
No, my God. So wait, did she confuse him with Tirico?
I know Tirico had all of the emotion.
Right. I don't.
She goes crickets. You didn't say a single thing.
Give me a break.
I was like, okay. Well, that was weird. She had a couple other things in there, but I was like, okay. And it's like that coupled with the this should be a neutral site playoff game. It's like, guys, you played the same number of games. I don't care that game wasn't finished. You both played 16 games, and the Bills won more games than you. So you do the neutral site when one team has played more games than the other team. You don't do that when you have the same number of games played. Right. It doesn't make sense. No matter if you think you would have won the game or not, I don't give a shit if you thought you were going to win that game because you didn't. The game wasn't finished. It didn't happen. You can't play the what-ifs in that situation. And so, you know, I just went on a tangent there. But it's okay. I think the Bills are going to win this game. I do think it'll be close because the Bengals are a good team. But the Bengals also struggled offensively and defensively against a Ravens team. Yes, their defense is good. Yes, their defense is really good, the Ravens. It's better than the Bills' defense. But they didn't show me anything offensively to give me confidence in them this week. I mean, you talk about the 98-yard or 99-yard touchdown return for their defense. The offense put up 17 points, and Joe Burrow just barely eclipsed 200 yards.
Yep.
Like, it's not like he did anything special. It's not like the running game did anything special. And then defensively, you know, like I said, opportunistic, but Snoop had guys open. Like, it's not, he was able to make a couple throws. As long as Josh Allen just takes what the defense gives him, I think he'll be able to take advantage. And I think the Bills ultimately win. This is going to be the sevens over threes game. They win 28-27.
Okay. So Bengals cover 5.5 points spread.
Yeah, I think it's, to me, I just don't understand how Vegas thinks.
This
Bills team is better, 5.5 points better, because we've talked about this. Home field in the NFL now is maybe a point and a half.
Right.
Like it. I don't know. I don't know how you could.
I thought it was like, because it opened at like 3.5 or 4.
It opened at 5.
Oh, did it really? I thought it opened at 4 or something like that, but I think there's probably a bit of like, okay, you know, injuries to the Bengals offensive line, and those guys aren't going to play anytime soon.
No.
And it's if it looks as bad as it looked against the Ravens, against, you know, what is still a pretty solid D line. I mean, Ed Oliver had a really good game against Miami.
I do think not having Von Miller does hurt them.
Right.
But
but
they've been playing without him for
as weeks. It is. I think this you know, Bills D-line, I think most D-lines, quite frankly, are good enough to rough up Joe Burrow and the Bengals passing offense. Frankly, we saw it with last week with Baltimore. I mean, Calais Campbell, you know, he was able to get in the backfield.
Interior rush.
White, you know, who's to say Ed Oliver can't make some noise in this game
really,
like he did?
Ted Karras is their only reliable piece offensively on that offensive line. Everywhere else, it seems like it's Band-Aids and gum and duct tape trying to fix
all their injuries.
Trying to keep it all together. I mean, they've just been destroyed along the O-line.
I think three or four of their starters are pretty much gone with injuries. So, you know, they're going to have to make adjustments. And for a team that prides themselves on throwing the football like the Bengals do.
I'll tell you what, I don't think Joe Mixon can play very much. I think you have to. I think in a game like this, Samaje Perine. I was going to get there eventually.
You got it.
Samaje Perine is going to have to play 60-65% of the snaps. We saw Joe Mixon in pass pro picking up a blitz, and he was awful.
Yep.
Samaje comes in, and all of a sudden, it's like Joe's got, you know, whether it be a half second or a second more, it's more time rather than Roquan Smith breathing down Joe's throat or face, neck. Yeah. That's what it is. It's like, oh, no. Okay. This is the game that Obert has been waiting for. Some call it the battle of the biggest brands in the NFL. This was the ultimate matchup in the 90s, even the 80s. I mean, the NFC Championship game. Some would call it the Super Bowl. Some would call the NFC Championship game the Super Bowl. Not this year because they're not playing in the NFC Championship game. Although, you know, you look at each team's most recent game, some would say that these are the two best teams because obviously Philadelphia didn't play last week, but some would say that these are the two best teams in the NFC. And then you watch Philadelphia play this week and it's like, oh, wait, that's right. We forgot about them.
Yeah.
What do you think? It's a 6:30 kick. It's in Santa Clara. I think the weather's probably going to be a bit better than it was last week. Dak Prescott coming off the best game of his Cowboys career. What do you got for me?
I'm really excited about this game. Quick PSA. I think I would campaign for the NFL to make all four of these games on Sunday. The NFL's it's a Sunday league. I don't like the Saturday.
So can I ask you a question?
Don't.
How would you do that?
12-3-6-9. That's how I would do it.
9 o'clock start.
Yes, you have a San Francisco team. Well, you're first off NFC. You're almost always going to have an NFC West team or any team that's out west anyway.
Okay, here's a counterpoint. They have Saturday open. That way, you're not watching.
I want all four games on the same day. At worst,
you also want them. Did you say 12 or did you say? You said 12-3-6-9. I, for whatever reason, I thought you said 9 first. I was like, oh, wait, what are we?
That's how I would do it. I mean, but I think that could work. Same thing with Thanksgiving, right? We did the exact same thing with Thanksgiving.
There's only three games.
Oh, yeah, 12-4. Okay, maybe you could put a Monday night game. I would still do 12-3-6-9. It's not like we're working with bedtimes here, right, guys?
No, we
are. Come on.
Some people have to work on Monday morning.
So I like that. Okay, fine. Don't watch NFL. Be my guest. listen, they play.
Do you want them to get fired?
They're playing the Saturday night game at 8:15. You can't stay up an extra 45 minutes. Give me a break. Right?
Yeah, but you don't have to get up in the morning. It's a Sunday. Nobody works. Not many people.
Okay,
work
fine.
On Sunday.
They play Monday night games at 8:20.
Yeah, and people go to bed. Like I don't know how many people finished. Yeah, it wasn't a great game, but I don't know how many people finished the Cowboys Bucks game.
I did. We did. I'm taking the Cowboys. Cowboys to win by 7, and I feel good about this one too. This isn't a I have to. This is exactly, precisely what I think is going to happen. I look at this game, and there are so many fantastic storylines. Not only do you have, you know, two of the best coaching staffs in all of professional football, two of the best brands, you know, two of the best defenses all year, two of, you know, the best NFC teams, like you mentioned.
Two of the best mediocre quarterbacks.
Hater. but it just feels like you said, that this game really, you know, could be the pathway to the Super Bowl. I think whichever team wins has that momentum to go forward and potentially beat the Eagles in the NFC Championship game, at least the way I see it. So as it stands right now, Cowboys, you know, are, I think, 4-point underdogs. But I think they win this game outright by 7. Listen, it all boils down to Brock Purdy and Kyle Shanahan versus Dan Quinn. Frankly, I think Dan Quinn is the best defensive mind currently coaching in football right now. I really believe it. When you look at the injuries the Cowboys have sustained throughout the end of the season, whether it be Anthony Brown, Jayron Kearse missing a couple of games with injuries, whatever the situation is, Dorian Armstrong, who you know has damn near double-digit sacks, missed a couple of games. Whatever, you know, the injury problems were, whatever, this defense continued to be successful. And it isn't even the production or the points allowed or anything like that. It's the fact that Dan Quinn has, you know, lined things up to confuse quarterbacks. And for a rookie quarterback like Brock Purdy, who did a fantastic job against Seattle, and that's great when you're playing a, you know, rookie-laden defense led by Kyle Shanahan, with the Seahawks, and then your offense is scripted by Kyle Shanahan, that helps. But there's no protecting your young quarterback when you're going up against one of the best defensive minds in football. He will disguise plays, you know, show pressures. He can drop guys off. He's got the versatility with the players to do different things and make it very difficult on a guy like Brock Purdy, who won't be able to change plays at the line or, you know, make some sort of hot route or anything like that. He doesn't have, I don't have the facilities for that, mate. Have you ever seen that mean? He doesn't. And no disrespect, but, you know, he's like a rookie quarterback. He's only played for what? 5 or 6 games. He did.
I think this would be a 7th game.
Yeah. Performed swimmingly against Seattle, but against, like I said, the best defensive mind in professional football today, Dan Quinn, he's going to be in a world of hurt. I really believe that. And, you know, if the Cowboys can just produce a good bit offensively, and I think they can. This offense has shown up with Dak Prescott, especially in big games. They score 5 touchdowns against Tampa. You look back even at their losses. In the Packers game, it was 28-28. That wasn't even, you know, a big game, but the offense shows up. The Jaguars game, offense shows up. Defense kind of melted down, but offense shows up in big game after big game after big game. I don't think really anything changes here. On the flip side of it, by the way, you know, Kellen Moore versus, what is it, D'Amico Ryans, I think. Again, 2 more incredible minds going at it with Dak Prescott against that 49ers defense. It's going to be freaking awesome. But I think the Cowboys defense confuses Brock Purdy enough to get the job done and, you know, really give the 49ers a lot of problems offensively. You know, Kyle Shanahan's a smart guy. He's going to be ready. But I think in some respects, with that rookie quarterback, you are innately limited on what you can do. And, you know, you look at the Cowboys-Buccaneers game. Every single time Dak Prescott's rushing to the line, he knows exactly what he wants to do, can get whatever play he wants to call. He's got the trust with Kellen Moore – Kellen Moore, and they can run whatever they want to run in that situation. Brock Purdy, it's going to be difficult for him. And I think with Dan Quinn and his capabilities, regardless of the personnel, the Cowboys are able to pull this win off, force a bunch of turnovers, and win sort of a low-scoring game. I have it at 27-20 Cowboys. Brett Maher luckily makes his kicks. The Cowboys get to their first NFC Championship game in nearly 30 years.
It's been that long?
Yep. I think since 1993.
Oh, geez.
A long time. Or 1994, maybe.
You had great analysis there.
Thank you. Thank you.
The only problem I have with your analysis.
No!
Is that you are expecting Dak to have another career-defining performance. And we're talking about... Yeah, but he, right? Are you, well, what's that stat line then? Give me a stat line.
I think he goes.
I think in order to win this game, he has to.
Okay, I think Dan Quinn does enough so that, because, like, obviously, I think he's going to play well, and playing well for him will be this stat line. I think it'll be something like 25-32. 280 yards, 2 touchdowns, and a pick. That would be my guess. Okay. I think, and that performance would be really good against a 49ers team.
Yeah,
you know, seen being one of the best defenses in football. So if he can do that, 1995 was their last, and then 1996 January 14th. So 27 years.
I don't. That's kind of the stat line I was expecting him to have too. I was thinking you were going to put him at, you know, kind of similar numbers as last week. Obviously, probably not as many touchdowns. No. I think
only scoring three touchdowns. So,
oh man, I think D'Amico Ryans puts Kellen Moore in a torture chamber with all of the weapons that he has defensively, and he's got a lot of them. I mean, when you talk about the speed they have, the versatility they have on the back end, in the middle, I think that the biggest factor is going to be, does Dak find CD, you know, consistently, and do they really? Because we saw DK have really his way against that defense. Yep. Charvarius Ward was not great in coverage, and neither was their number two corner. I forget his name. And so, if CD can put up a DK like game, I do think that obviously that the Cowboys defense is better than the 49ers defense. So the problem is I think D'Amico and that defense is, they're going to work on the stuff that, you know, Seattle beat them with. And it was a lot of the go balls. It was a lot of the, you know, whether they were playing cover three or cover one, it was the single high stuff. The corners were one-on-one on the outside, and they got burnt. I think you're going to see a lot of cover two, maybe quarters looks this time around. And I don't know. Yeah, Dak is very accurate. He's able to manipulate the pocket really well, too. We're talking about an elite pass rush, too, from the 49ers. I think, and I'm along the same lines of you or with you as with the 49ers offense. I don't think they're going to be, you know, they're definitely not putting up 40 points again.
Right.
I don't even think they put up 30. I think that this is, you know, a Brock Purdy, as you know, he's a good quarterback. Like, he can't win you a game like this. It's going to be the playmakers. And I do think that Kyle Shanahan is going to scheme up enough to get them the win. I think they win, and I'm going to go lower scoring than you, 20-14.
Okay.
I think this is, you know, the old-fashioned grind it out. The defenses are going to play really good ball, and it's going to come down to the leg of Brett Maher, and he is going to choke. You know, it is when you miss four extra points, I think
he does make the two extra points, though.
Makes the two extra points.
He misses the first, goes for two.
He misses the first extra point. They go for two, they get it. He misses two field goals in this game. And so that's the difference. 20-14,
signed a backup quarterback.
A backup kicker?
Or backup kicker, yeah.
Really?
If he misses one, they might.
So that's what I'm going to go with. That's my prediction, is they win. The 49ers win 20-14. Brett Maher misses two field goals.
Come on, Brett.
It's not like the Cowboys offense gets, or doesn't even get down to the field. I think they get down the field. They get into like the 40, 45 yard range, and Maher shanks one, and then one doinks.
Oh, off the upright.
And it's like, oh my God, it was right there.
Come on, Brett.
And then I also think that Christian McCaffrey has a run where it's like, he doesn't get touched. Like, you kind of like he did against Seattle, where he's got one, and it's like, well, I don't know what happened on that, but, you know, the motion, the blocking, it was set up perfectly, gets him down to field goal range, and it's like a three-play drive that, you know, they either score or they, you know, kick the field goal, four or five-play drive.
Cup touchdown in that Rams-Cowboys game. Literally, just a little shallow cross, or he does not just get touched.
Something like that. It's like, it's going to be one of those where it's like, well, that was a little easy.
Yeah.
And it's it. And then the rest of the game is going to be like, they got to fight for every single, it's just going to be one defensive breakdown, and it's going to go for a lot of yards. But at the end of the day, I think that, you know, once you get closer to the championship games and ultimately the Super Bowl, the games do start to become lower scoring because offenses are better, defenses are better. So they control the clock, you know, right. they're more well-rounded. So you're not going to get a team, you know, funnily enough, like the Chargers that make it this far, because they can't, when they have a lead, they can't salt it away because they can't run the ball. You know, if they're lucky enough to even have the lead. So that's my score prediction.
You look at the NFC side of the playoffs last year, pretty much every single game of note, at least, was low scoring leading up until the Super Bowl, and then the Super Bowl was low scoring. Yeah. The AFC side, say what you will, had some high scoring games, but, you know, even the Bengals, you know, low scoring game against the Titans, fairly low scoring game against the Raiders, you know, beat the Chiefs in overtime.
I think the highest scoring game was the Rams Bucks.
Yeah.
It was like 27-24, right?
Oh, no, it was the, wasn't Bills Chiefs like 35-30?
No, I was talking about on the NFC side.
Oh, yeah.
I think that was the highest scoring game.
Yep. Yep, something like that. And, you know, other than that, it was...
Because you had 20, was it 21-17 for 49ers, yep. Cowboys.
23-17.
Bucks played the Eagles.
That was a blowout. Actually, the Eagles came back and made it like a two-score
game. That was a relatively close game at the end. That might have been the highest scoring. And then the... Because the Packers were the number one seed. No.
Packers were the one seed.
Yeah, they were the one seed. Because the Rams played... Who did they play in the first round?
Cardinals.
Oh, that's right.
And beat the tar out of them, like 35-7 or something.
Yeah, that's
like
right.
That.
It wasn't even close. And then it was the divisional, and it was 14-7, or what was the final?
13-10, I believe. 13-10? 49ers, Packers.
Yeah, that's right. That's right, because it was two field goals and then the blocked punt. That
give me a break.
And then it was, so it was scoring on that, lower scoring on the NFC side, and ultimately it prevailed, but. You know,
to finish off the Cowboys, because you know it was more about why I think they would win, but I also just like keys to watch. Deron Bland opposite Trayvon Diggs is, you know, the Cowboys is, you know, de facto CB2 right now because of no Anthony Brown. That matchup, whoever he's following, whether it be Brandon Ayuk or Deebo Samuel, the Cowboys don't necessarily just lock Trayvon Diggs under the wide receiver one. They'll, you know, like I said, a bunch of different looks to, you know, try and confuse quarterbacks. Just, you know, so whoever he's guarding, that will be a big matchup for the entirety of the game. And then, the two-day rest thing I also wanted to touch on. I
don't know how you win a game like that.
What?
One team has 8, the other one has 6. I mean, teams have, right?
Yeah.
I mean, playing Monday night and then, but most games are on Sunday, so it's just an extra day.
Yeah.
Two days feels like a lot.
Yeah, but you know, we see that with like Thursday nights and stuff like that. Teams getting Thursday night bye or the mini bye for the Thursday night games, and you know, the other team just plays on a Sunday or even a Monday, you know, in some circumstances. But I think the good thing with that is the Cowboys game was over in the first half or halftime pretty much. And then, you know, for that mentally, there's not a lot of fatigue. You weren't, you know, sweating out a close game at the end where you really had to, oh my gosh, it was pretty lax, pretty chill. Obviously, you know, they were
a
still
lot of travel,
seriousness
a lot
wanting
of
to
travel.
Win that game. But, you know, mentally, there's not a lot of mental fatigue there. You're still pretty sharp. I think coaching wise, they were like, come on, man. The Bucks were, you know, 8-9. I think a bit of this is we're ready, you know, for looking ahead. But
they
they
got back home at
31-6.
They got back home at like 3 a.m. Yes, they got back into Dallas. They did gain an hour when they got back, so there's that. But then they
a spin zone.
But then they lose 2 hours when they go.
Because
they're central, right?
Yeah, they're.
Yeah, so you gain it. You gain an hour.
Eastern.
No, Dallas, I don't think. No, area? Dallas isn't because
Houston is. I think.
No, it can't. There's no way because Alabama is central time zone.
Really?
Yeah.
That I didn't know.
Yeah. So, they gain an hour there, but then they lose 2 hours when they go out to Santa Clara. So you get home Tuesday morning. You have practice Tuesday because you can't take a victory day or a day off there. Wednesday, Thursday, you practice. You leave on Friday.
Yep.
That's a tough week. Meanwhile, the 49ers got home that night. You know, whenever. Oh no, because they played the early game.
Yep.
And
like I think that game was like 4 or something like that.
That was 4 here. They played that game at like 1, 2. and so they get to go home, spend the night there. They get the next day off. They get probably Monday off too.
It helps. It helps, man.
I don't know, man. The NFL screwed up with the scheduling there.
Yes, they did.
Much.
That shouldn't be ever done ever again. Period.
Well, it's the Monday night game. You just can't have the Monday night game. That's what it is.
And I'll tell you this too. I think the Cowboys. I think the good thing is, I think they're using it as a bit of a chip on their shoulder. I saw what Mike McCarthy said about it. He's like, TV is king, right? Like, it wasn't like, oh, it's no big deal. It won't affect us like what Jerry Jones said. It was like, TV is king, man. Like, we'll keep that in mind. I like that. I like that. I think there's a bit of this to like, they hate us because they ain't us. Everybody doubts the Cowboys. Everybody doubts the Cowboys in the playoffs. That's what I would do. I would leverage
that. You doubt the Cowboys in the playoffs?
And obviously, that's lunacy, but
you would doubt the Cowboys in the playoffs?
No, I mean, I would leverage, you know.
Oh, like
they hate us because they
like the Bengals are with the story. I don't know if you saw on Twitter, some Cincinnati media person said they're already selling tickets for the neutral site Bills Chiefs game and for the AFC Championship game, and it took and like you see all the like there were Bengals players responding to it. There was Bengals fans in the comments like, this is BS. The NFL is so against us.
It's rigged.
And then it took, you know, one Google search to see that they did that for every other team. Like, right. if you wanted to go, you could go get a ticket at Paycor for Jags Bengals if you wanted to for the AFC Championship game. And they just conveniently left that part out. And so now they're trying to use it as a rallying cry. This is a chip on our shoulder. It's like, shut up, you guys.
Hey, man.
Stop playing the victim.
If Kirby can, you know, tell his boys
you guys
he's going
said
5-7.
5-7.
I mean, shit, Mike McCarthy can spin zone the NFL's against him.
Kirby Smart is the best ghostwriter in America.
Yeah, I mean,
because we didn't even know he said anything.
Right. 5-7. Like, who the hell is calling this team 5-7? You literally have half of your team as five stars. Half of your team. Pretty much your entire starting 22.
You know what he said? He goes, yeah, nobody picked us to be here. Nobody picked us to be in the playoff. None of our guys, not even guys like David Pollock, who's, you know, one of us. And someone put it under the tweet or quote tweeted and said, Lee and Kirk both picked you to be in the playoff.
Right.
Like, on the same exact show. And it was like, doesn't matter. It's not a Georgia guy. It's like, what? What are we doing here? If you could.
Yep.
Thank you guys so much for watching. Hope you enjoyed. Catch you on the flip. See ya.